This message is a ministry of North River Church. Visit us online at gonorthriver.org.
I want to invite you to go ahead and grab your copy of God's Word this morning. Join me in the book of Luke once again, Luke chapter 1. We've been walking through a series through this Christmas season called The Cross and the Manger. We are reminded, even as we come to gather and worship this morning, that the baby who was born in Bethlehem would be the Savior of the world. Can't forget the fact that this baby who came would be the Son of God who took our sin on the cross and paid the debt of sin that we owed. It's only through Him that we have forgiveness of sin. It's only through Him that we have redemption, that we have salvation. And yet, as we encounter the story of Jesus coming into this world, we realize that, in a real sense, it's pretty unremarkable. God uses ordinary people. God uses people that we probably wouldn't expect. If you were going to bring the Messiah in, the King, you would bring Him into a royal family, and yet God doesn't do that with His Son. He brings Him to a couple who had no real position or authority. He brings Jesus into a situation that many would look at as a scandal, and yet it's this reality of who Jesus is, of the fact that God brought Him to this earth in the way in which He did, that we realize the Christmas story is all about. I want to ask you this morning, as you think about God's Word, as you think about the story of Christmas, what makes you want to sing? Some of you are thinking, I don't want to sing. Some of you are thinking, I don't want the person next to me to sing either. I'll never forget when I was probably 13 or 14 years old. I've never really seen my dad sing. My dad is he's probably one of my biggest fans, always been there as a support for me, but I never saw my dad sing. It wasn't something that he did very often. Of course, he would kind of sing in church a little bit, but I've seen some of you, and he was a lot like some of you, just kind of mumble the words, you know. Pastor Scott, you don't watch that, do you? You don't see that, yeah. But that was my dad. But I'll never forget, it was Valentine's Day one year. My mom bought tickets for me and for my dad to go see someone in concert. They got to know my dad. My dad is a rock and roll kind of guy. Loves rock and roll music. And so my mom bought us tickets. It was a dual concert. It was Lynyrd Skynyrd and ZZ Top. Now, some of y'all are thinking, that's good music right there. My dad, who I have never watched really sing, I'm telling you what, my dad was in it. I mean, my dad, if you'd have given him a microphone, he'd have put on a performance that night. Now, here's the thing that's interesting about the text this morning. We're going to see Mary, who's just been told that she would bear the Messiah. We're going to see Mary sing, and it's a specific song. In fact, some of the words are words that we sang this morning, and so we're going to look at that, and I want you to think about what makes you want to sing. Here's what the Scripture records in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 39, and carrying us through verse 56. Luke records this: in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby in her womb leaped. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. And he has shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. And he has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. As we look at the text this morning, I want to remind you where we are in the story. We encountered this lady by the name of Elizabeth early on in chapter 1. If you remember back, it was Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, who was serving in the temple, and the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah and said, "You're going to have a son." And you remember his doubt, his questions, his wondering, because he realized that he and Elizabeth were well advanced in years. They were seasoned saints. They had been around a while. It was past childbearing years for Elizabeth, but God had promised through his angel that he was going to give them a son, and his son would be named John, and that he would be the forerunner for the Messiah coming into the world. And then we encountered Gabriel, that same angel, going to Mary, this young virgin, and telling her that she would bear the Messiah, she would bear the Christ child, the long-awaited Son of God that would come into the world and be the forgiveness that we needed, that she would be the mother to bring him into the world. And we see here these two ladies connecting. You see, they were relatives, and it says in those days, in verse 39, that Mary arose, that she went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. Now, just have a thought with me for just a second. Mary has gotten word that Elizabeth is pregnant. And Mary is pregnant. So ladies, just know that they're about to have a powwow. They're about to discuss what's going on. "Are you sick?" "I'm sick. I wake up every morning and I throw up." They're getting together. They're about to share their stories of what God is doing in their life. You got to remember that at this point in time that Mary's gotten word about Elizabeth's pregnancy through the angel Gabriel, that he was the one who said, "You know, I know that this seems impossible, but you got to remember with God, all things are possible." And just in case you wanted to know, Elizabeth, remember, who was barren, who couldn't have kids, is now pregnant. So Mary takes off. She heads to find Elizabeth. She enters the house of Zechariah in verse 40, and she greets Elizabeth. Now listen to verse 41. "When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb." I'll never forget when Janie was pregnant with both of our girls, that there were nights when we'd be laying in the bed and she'd take my hand and she'd put it on her stomach and she said, "You've got to feel this. You feel a little bump." Here, this is more than a bump, though. Here, Elizabeth says that the baby in her womb leaped. I mean, think Michael Jordan style leaping. I'm talking about leaping within her womb. And it says, "Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry." Now listen to this. This, what we're going to see Elizabeth say, is utterly amazing. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Listen to verse 43. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now, here's the thing that Elizabeth has recognized, that she's understood that as the baby leaped, John, within her womb, she is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she has recognition and understanding that this baby that's in Mary's womb is not just any old baby. This baby that she is carrying is her Lord. And she exclaims, "Oh, what a privilege that I get to see and talk with the mother of my Lord." She says in verse 44, "For behold, when the sound of your greeting came into my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." And notice what she says in verse 45 about Mary. "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." If you remember back last week as we saw Mary receive this promise from Gabriel the angel, you remember at the end Mary said, very simple words, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to his word." And here Elizabeth once again says about Mary, "You are willing to receive what the Lord is going to do." Verse 46, I have to try to wonder what's going on in Mary's mind at this point. You see, you know that she knows that this baby that she's carrying is the Messiah. This baby that she's carrying is the Son of God. She knows that. I mean, the angel has told her that, but this is the first time outside of heavenly host that she's had someone say something about it. And Elizabeth says to her, "Oh, Mary, this baby that you're carrying, it's the Lord. It's our Savior. What an amazing thing that it is that you are carrying the Christ child, the one that we've been longing for, the one that we've been waiting for, the one who will forgive us of our sins and make salvation possible. That child is in your womb right now." You've got to know that Mary at this moment has got to just be sitting in awe, just amazed at what God has done. Amazed that she's the vessel that he's using to bring the Christ child into the world. Amazed that he could have chosen anyone, but he chose her, and she's the one that gets to experience this. And Mary here breaks out in song. It's a very deliberate song, very purposeful song. It is a song of praise lifted up to the Lord. And I just want to pause for a second and just remind us that God loves to hear songs of praise lifted to him. When we come in and we sing together, that is a sweet sound in the ears of a heavenly Father who loves us. When you personally, in your own life, spiritually sing songs of praise to the Lord, that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. You see, here's what I'm convinced of. There should be more singing going on in our lives. There should be more songs of praise lifted up to the Lord in our lives. Now, some of you are thinking, "But I can't sing, Michael." I know that. Neither can I. But he realized that all the Lord asks for from us is a joyful noise. Now, some of your joyful noises sound better than my joyful noise. But that's all that the Lord asks for, is a joyful noise lifted up in praise to him. You say, "Michael, you don't understand what I'm going through right now. You don't understand the burdens that I'm under. You don't understand that this time of year at Christmas, which for many people is one of their favorite times of year, for you, this may be the worst time of year. You look, and this is the time of year that you lost someone close to you. This is the time of year that it reminds you that you may be estranged from family. Children that may no longer come home or call. Maybe you've lost a spouse, and this is just for you, just a sad time of year. I want to encourage you this morning. Any time is a good time to sing praise to the Lord. I want you to notice Mary's song here. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." That word magnify. You ever taken a magnifying glass and looked at something through the magnifying glass? What happens? It gets... Okay, some of y'all didn't go to science class in fifth grade. It gets what?
Bigger,
right? That's exactly what Mary's saying. My soul magnifies the Lord. So that in reality, what Mary's saying here is that in my soul, in my life, God is bigger. And He's getting bigger in my life. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Notice what she says in verse 48. "For He has looked on the humble estate of His servant." Mary full well knows that there's nothing in and of her that should have put her in this position to be bearing the Messiah. "He has looked on the humble estate of His servant, for behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name." Verse 50, "His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. And He has shown strength with His arm, and He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty." We realize in this moment, as Mary is singing this song of praise, that the world in a real sense has been turned upside down. You notice what she says here, the powerful are no longer powerful. The strong are no longer the strong. In fact, it's the weak who are now strong. When you look at the fact of who Jesus is and what He's done, Jesus comes into a world and turns it on its head. You look and you realize and you say, if you're going to bring the King of the world into this place, you're going to bring Him in as a king. You're going to bring Him in with a royal family. But God doesn't do that. In fact, God brings His Son into the world in a humble way. Jesus, throughout His ministry, would say that the first will be last. See, what we're reminded of in this song of praise that Mary offers here to the Lord is that she recognizes that things are not happening as people think they probably should. In fact, it's completely different. If you or I were in charge, which some of us would probably like to be at times, if we were sitting in God's shoes and we were trying to figure out, how do I send my Son into the world so that people would recognize that He's the Messiah, that He's the Savior, how would you do it? Probably not this way. And yet Mary praises the Lord because she recognizes and understands that God's kingdom is not like the world's kingdom. God's plan and purpose is not like our plan and purpose. In fact, she realizes very quickly here that this Son of God who has come into the world in a humble way will topple kings and authorities. This Son of God who would come into the world in a manger, who would go to the cross on our behalf, is the one who's sitting today at the right hand of the Father. See, Mary in this moment, singing praise to the Lord in recognition of what God is doing. Verse 54, He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. I want you to notice something with me this morning. 3 truths that I believe that the text highlights for us. And they all kind of go together, and I want you to write them down. If you have a pen, lipstick, mascara, whatever you need to write it down with, be up on the screen as well. But here's the first truth I want us to recognize, that God is worthy of our praise because of what He's done. God is worthy of our praise because of what He has done. Let me ask you a very simple question, but a very personal question. What has God done in your life? You say, Michael, there's just so much. I mean, it would take days and days and days just to recount all that God has done in my life. You may be here this morning, though, and for you, you think, I really don't know what God's done for me. In fact, it's this morning that you realize that you don't have a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus. And for all of us, that's the beginning point in our lives, spiritually speaking, is to recognize who Jesus is and what He came to do and to place our faith and trust in what He's accomplished for us on the cross. And it's from that point forward that we begin to walk out life as it was intended to live. What has God done in your life? Mary looks and she recounts what God's done. She recounts the promises that God has made. Elizabeth even recounts the promises that God has made. Mary reminds us that God bringing His Son into the world was not something that happened by accident. It was something that was long planned. It was something that was long coming. It began even before creation. God knew that His Son would need to be sent into this world to pay the debt of sin for us. And He began, even from the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, to prepare the way for His Son to come into the world. What has God done in your life? As you look back on difficulties that you've experienced, how did God get you through those? Some of you this morning have just come out of one of the most difficult times in your life. Some of you this morning are just walking into the most difficult times of your life. And as a believer, the temptation is for the tree in front of us to cloud what the forest looks like of what God has done in our lives. And sometimes the perspective that we need is we need to pause. And I think there's probably no better time of year than as we close out 2016 and move into 2017 to just pause and think about what God has done in your life over the past year and the past years that you've been walking with Him. The victories that you've experienced. The tragedies that He's walked with you through. And I tell you this morning, parents and grandparents, Your kids and your grandkids need to hear what God has done in your life. They need to be reminded not only of what God has done in the world through His Word, but they need to be reminded of what God has done in your life personally. Maybe your homework for today when you leave is you need to sit down and you just need to take inventory over the last year of your life and look at and ask the simple question, what has God done in my life over the past year? And how do I need to praise Him for what He has done? So that's what Mary does here. Mary looks and she goes, oh, look at what God has done. And the only response, and I realize what God has done, is to offer praise to His name for what He's done. But not only that, God is worthy of our praise because of what He is doing right now. See, this morning, God is at work in your life, and He's at work in my life. He's at work in this world in which we live. God is never taking a break. He's never pausing His work. He's never stopping the plan of salvation, of redemption, coming to fruition. You may be here this morning, and that's the question that has hit you. Say, Michael, I realize that God has done things in my life. I can trace that. I can look back and remember how He walked with me through that. But Michael, I'm just being honest with you. This morning, I really just don't feel like God's working in my life. In fact, you may be in a time in your life right now where it's eerily silent. Kind of like right now. And you're just waiting for God to speak, for God to move, for God to do what you know He can do and what He has done. Mary's song of praise lifted up to the Lord is not just for what He has done, but for what He's doing in the moment in her life. Now, don't forget that Mary, bearing this Christ child, not being married at this point in time, trouble would come from this. She would be marginalized in society. She would have been looked down upon in society for being pregnant without a husband. And her excuse, her answer to that is, it's the Holy Spirit's. How does that work? And yet, even in that, she's able to praise the Lord for what He's doing in her life. Listen, for all of us, day in and day out life can be a struggle. You wake up in the morning and you get the kids ready for school. And you go to work. And you work all day and you come home and you got to fix dinner and just the monotony of day in and day out life. It wears on us. And we look and we're just wondering, is God at work? Can I tell you this morning that God is at work in the mundane aspects of your life? In changing diapers, God is at work. You think, whoa, that just blew my mind. God is at work in your life. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, every single second of every single day, He is at work in your life. His Holy Spirit is conforming you to the image of His Son so that you look more and more like Jesus every single day. God is at work in your life right now. And for that, He deserves our praise. Mary praises God for what He's done. She praises God for what He's doing. But here's the last truth. She praises God for what He will do. Mary is forward-looking. She realizes that this Christ child that she will bear, that she will bring into the world, that He is going to revolutionize everything. That it's through Him that His people will experience salvation. That it's through Him that life as it was intended to live will be able to happen. It's through Him that salvation will be offered to those who receive the free gift that His death on the cross provides. She is looking forward to what God is going to do through bringing His Son into the world. We must be reminded that this moment in which we live is just a small blip on the radar of what God is doing and will do. We play just a small part of this story of redemption that's been unfolding since creation. We play a small part in what God is doing ultimately to redeem this world and to bring it back as it was intended to be lived. And it's through His Son at work in people's lives that that happens. In church, we should be the first to be standing with our hands lifted in praise to the Lord, knowing that He's going to do what He said He's going to do. You see, the truth is that this baby that comes in a manger in Bethlehem, who goes to the cross and lays His life down for us, who ascended to His Father, we have the promise that He will return. We celebrate Christmas. We certainly celebrate Christ coming, Emmanuel, God with us. But you know what we also celebrate at Christmas? We celebrate the fact that He is coming back again. We're reminded that the first coming of Christ is going to be followed by the second coming, the promise that Christ will return and He will set all things right. Mary lifts up praise to the Lord because of what God has done, because of what He's doing, and because of what she knows He will do. For us, church, our song of praise to the Lord should follow Mary's song of praise to the Lord. What has God done in your life? What is God doing in your life? And what is God going to do in your life? I want to ask you if you'd bow your heads with me this morning. Ask the worship team to make their way back and give you an opportunity this morning just to pause and ask a few simple questions. What has God done in your life? Can you look back on the moment when you trusted Jesus as your Savior and you were forgiven of your sins? If you can, God did that. If you're here this morning and you can't look back and remember that time when you trusted Jesus for salvation, I want to encourage you this morning that that can change. That this morning you, right where you are, can receive the free gift of salvation that Jesus' birth, His life, His death, and His resurrection provide for you. You simply need to receive Him as your Savior. Repent of your sin. If you'd like to talk about that a little bit more this morning, I'll be in the back, and as we sing, I want to encourage you to just slip back there. I'd love to share with you what it means to place your faith and trust in Jesus for salvation. Let me ask you, believer, this morning, what's God doing in your life right now? Could it be that what He wants to do, He's not able to do because of sin that may be in your life, that this morning you need to repent of? Could it be that he's not doing what he would want to do in your life because you haven't done what Mary did and said, Lord, I'm your servant here, use me. And this morning, that needs to be the cry of your heart. Are you rejoicing this morning? Are you praising God this morning for what he will do in your life and in this world in the future? Are you looking and longing this morning for his return when all things are set right? Father, we ask you this morning, where hearts may be cold, where it may be tough for us to sing a song of praise to you, that you would remind us of what you've done, of what you're doing, and of what you will do. Let those truths well up within us into a song of praise to you. For it's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand, sing, respond to the Lord this morning.